This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
First Corinthians 10, and I'm sorry, there's one more announcement I forgot to make. Because we have so much going on this month, the Italian service is canceled for December. Okay? The Italian service for this month is canceled. It will start up again next year, next month. All right? That's why it's not on the calendar, so I want to make sure you knew that. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10. Thank you for those who came yesterday. We had a good meeting, a good work day. We got to do some work outside. We cleaned gutters and raked some leaves and did some things we have to do to keep up the church. So thank you for those who came out. We appreciate your support and your help. Amen. All right. This message will really be a good message to prepare our hearts for communion. In chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, he's actually talking to the church, to us, but he's talking about the children of Israel and what happened to them, what they went through, and how today we can learn from their experiences. And we can learn from our experiences today. Amen. And hopefully we are. As we get older, we get wiser, hopefully. But today we're gonna hear a little bit about their experiences and what they did and how it can help me and you today in our lives with the Lord. So I've entitled this, a little different of a title, but anyways, the title I got for us today is Apostolic Admonitions. Apostolic Admonitions. Admonitions means where God is going to admonish us in these scriptures. God is going to encourage us, speak to us on how we should live. Can I get an amen? So if your feet get a little stepped on, that's okay. You got time today to get forgiveness. Hopefully we're not involved in any of what I'm going to share because this is pretty heavy duty stuff, okay? And I would hope none of us are in any of these things, but you know what? There are some things here that are encouraging that we can learn from, and possibly we have some issues with some of these things today. So it's a long chapter. We're going to look at a part of it here. I want to start at verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 10. I am coming out of the King James Version today. Doesn't matter what version you have, you can follow with me, okay? And what we're going to see here is we're going to read about warnings, okay? Admonitions, another word for that is warnings that were from Hebrew history, okay? Again, from the children of Israel, these were warnings given to them and they're given to me and you today as the church, okay? Aren't you happy God likes to warn us and admonish us, right, of things that may happen? And if certain things happen, what are the consequences today, okay? God is a God that always is trying to warn His people and give us a heads up. So in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 10, it says this. It says, now these things were our examples. Somebody say examples. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So God is telling us here, what you're about to read were the examples that they gave us, the children of Israel gave us in the Old Testament, how they lived and what they went through, okay? He says, these are examples for you now, the church, right? And he tells us the very first thing is that as we receive these examples today, that we would make sure that we don't lust after evil things, because they did, okay? They did. And you know what? Sometimes we do too. How many know that? When you hear of the word lust, It shouldn't just be, lust meaning sexual. Lust here, what it means, the word lust for evil things, it could mean you have these desires. To lust is to desire, or here's some other words, to lust is to crave. Do you crave anything today? Do you crave a certain food? Right? Or another word for lust is covet. Okay? Do you covet things today? Right? He says here that we're not to lust or desire or crave or covet after what? Evil or carnal things as they did. Okay? We know the background. We don't need to go back there. But so he encourages us today as the church that we would learn from their example and that we would not walk in this lustful spirit for things that are not good. Okay? Evil things. He says in verse 7, he says, "Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Wow. Seems like their life was a party. Right? It says here that we're also need to be careful that we're not what? Idolaters. Or we don't get involved in idolatry. Well, what does that mean? Because some of them were also in idolatry, right? To be an idolatry or being an idolater means that we're not to be a worshiper of false gods. Can I get an amen? How many know today the world is constantly worshiping other gods? Okay? Other gods could be people today, could be material things, could be money, it can be anything today that you worship instead of God. Okay? So we have to be careful in our daily life that we don't worship other things, okay? Other gods, all right? And what they did in the Old Testament, we don't have time to go back there and see, but it says what here that the people, they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Well, they were eating and drinking the sacrifices offered to the golden calf. Okay? How terrible that had to be. And we know the consequence of the sin that they had. They were actually eating as they were sacrificing to a statue. Right? A golden calf. Right? We know the story about that. So, it was like life was just about playing. They were just trying to have enjoyment constantly, right? Dancing and jesting and having hilarity, the Amplified Bible says. It was like everything was playtime. Life was about fun, right? While they actually were walking in idolatry at this time. So we have to be careful today that we don't put other things more important than God, because then in that sense, we actually could be in idolatry if we worship other things more than we worship God, or we spend too much time with other things, right? It can be all kinds of things today, right? So we have to be careful here. Again, these things are written to me and you today that they would be what? Warnings and examples to us that we can learn from them, amen? How many know it's a good thing when you can learn from somebody else that you don't have to go through it, right? That's a blessing when you don't have to go through it to learn, right? We have that today in the scriptures that we're reading, okay? Let me go on here. Verse 8, it says, "Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Wow. So you see here again how they were living in sin, they were committing sin, right? They were lusting, doing things they shouldn't have done. They were committing fornication, or another way to say it, they were indulging in immorality. Okay? We got to make sure we don't indulge in what? Immorality. The world is full of immorality. How many know that? Just turn the news on, and it's there constantly. So we see here as an example again with the children of Israel that they did commit fornication. And you know what? Because of their sin, 23,000 died in one day in the Old Testament. God is a God of judgment. Amen. God is a God of of holiness, right, and of truth. And they paid a heavy consequence, those who were committing these sins in the Old Testament. God exhorts us today, how many know, to walk in purity. No amens. I need help, Lord, today. God wants us to walk in purity, right? Let me show you a couple verses with this in mind. Turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. I've read these scriptures, I think even recently, as a matter of fact. If I can find it here. Ephesians 5, verses 3 to 7. It says this, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints." That's a strong verse. Amen. He's telling the church here, he says, you know what? These things, fornication, uncleanness, being covetous, should not be named amongst the church. Can I get an amen? Not once. Okay? We shouldn't have these problems in the church, right? Neither filthiness nor foolish talking or nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather what? Giving of thanks. That's the kind of talk we should have. Amen? How many know it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord? He says in verse 5, "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater," here it is again, "hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." See, anyone who practices these sins, okay, this is someone who what? Practices these things as a way of life, as a habit of life. He says, this person has no place, no inheritance in God's kingdom. Okay? He says in verse 6, he says, "Let no man deceive you with these vain words." Don't be deceived today, because the world will try to deceive us. How many know that? He says, "For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And we see it from the Old Testament, what happened to the children of Israel. He says in verse 7, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Don't get involved in this. Amen. Stay away from these things, okay? God says, walk in purity. God tells us to do what? Walk in the light. Not to walk in sin like the world does, right? We have to be the standard for the world. We have to show the world what it means to walk in purity and to walk as children of light. Amen? That's so important. In 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to just look at one quick scripture here. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. It says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." So if anything even looks evil to you, abstain from it, get away from it, God says. Amen. Another word for that is to what? Shun evil. Shun it. Get away from it. Don't even come close to it. There's other scripture that tell us don't even walk by it. Hello. You know what? Sometimes we think we can handle certain things and we get too close to evil or sin and then it bites us. How many are hearing me today? So stay away, abstain from anything that even looks not right, doesn't look good. God says stay away from it, abstain from it, get away from it. That's wisdom today for you and me. Amen. Back to 1 Corinthians 10, praise God. Verse number 9 says, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents." See, the children of Israel, they went to the point they were tempting God by the way they were living, right? How many know that's not a good idea to tempt God today? You say, what do you mean by that? Well, another way is to tempt Jesus is to try His patience. Oh, God will forgive me. I'll be all right. Ooh, that's a bad place to be in your life. If you're doing something you know you shouldn't do, and you have this attitude, well, God will forgive me because He's a God of mercy. Woe unto you if you think that way. Okay, we should never want to tempt the Lord or try His patience. Or here's another word we can use: or exploit His goodness. How many know God is good today? But we don't want to exploit that goodness, right? By doing something wrong. Because God won't be pleased, okay? Another way we could say it is that we need not to, what, presume on God. Have you ever heard that word? People do that. They presume on God. Well, again, you know what? If I make a mistake, I know God is merciful. He'll forgive me. And that's true. But we don't presume on Him. We don't take advantage of His mercy and His grace. How many understand the difference today? There's a difference. If you make a mistake ignorantly or not purposely, that's totally different than saying, well, if I make a mistake, then I'll be all right because God loves me. There's a big difference there, right? We don't presume or exploit His goodness to us. We know He's good to us, right? We know He loves us. We know He wants to forgive us when we do wrong. But we have to be careful. Our heart is right every day, okay? These people, again, it says here, they were what? Destroyed because of their sin, okay? A lot of people, a lot of preachers and pastors, some may not talk about the judgment of God. But how many know we need to? God is holy God, right? He's a just God, and He will judge sin one day. And actually, and I know you know this, what we sow, we reap even today. Can I get an amen? If you sow good, you reap good. But if you sow evil or wrongdoing, you know what? It's a matter of time. It's coming back to you. Okay? Nothing gets by the Lord. How many know that today? It might get by us. You know, we may not catch everything today, but God is watching, right? He doesn't miss anything. Amen. So we have to be careful. Again, we should learn from what we're reading today, what they went through and what happened to them, right? Because of the sin that they were involved in. All right. It says many were destroyed by death, by serpents. Wow, we don't want to be destroyed. God wants to give us life today. Amen. Let me get further here. Verse number 10 of 1 Corinthians 10. It says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. What did they do? And we hear this a lot about the children of Israel. They were what? Murmurers. They murmured. Here's another word that we can explain is complain. They what? Murmured and complained. And you know what? It says, because of the way they were, then they were, again, destroyed by the destroyer. Okay? God doesn't like murmuring or complaining. How many know? I don't like it. Do you? If somebody comes to you and complains and murmurs, do you enjoy that? I don't think so. You want to tell them, stop. Amen. So we need to be careful because we tend to do that sometimes. All of us tend to deal with that, murmuring, complaining, and sometimes God has to check our spirit and say, easy, calm down, right? I'm sorry, Lord, for complaining. I'm sorry for murmuring, right? So He says here, doesn't like it. We don't like it either. Amen. We have to even be careful within the church that we don't have that kind of a spirit. I want to show you another verse with this in mind. In Philippians 2:14 says this, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Ooh. How are we supposed to do all things without murmuring and disputings? Another word for disputings there is strife. God doesn't want us to have any kind of strife amongst us. How many know that? It's so important that we don't. Yeah, I understand we're going to have time to time little things will happen. We'll say things we shouldn't say. And hopefully we realize we make mistakes and we ask for forgiveness and we learn and then we get better and move on, right? But we can't allow any kind of, you know, disputings or murmurings or complainings to be among us. Look at verse 15. He says that you may be what? Blameless and harmless, the sons of God, the daughters of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Wow, that's pretty direct, I think, for us today as the church. God says, you know, not only do I not want you to murmur or complain or dispute or have strife with anyone, but I want you to be blameless. Wow. That's for everybody, not just the pastor. How many know that? Not just leaders, everybody, right? He says, blameless, and not only blameless, harmless. Wow. We have to be harmless, meaning we just exude with love today for God and for one another. Because we need to do what? We need to shine. How many want to shine today for Jesus? We're supposed to shine as lights. And if we have any of that going on, it's going to be hard to shine. How many know that? We must shine, right? We must ask God to fix those areas in our life that we still maybe have trouble with from time to time. Let's learn from our mistakes, all of us. Amen. And let's get better, and let's make sure we don't allow this stuff to happen. It happened in the Old Testament. It happened in the New Testament. And it still happens, I hate to say it. How many know that? But you know what? It can get better. Because we're people. We still make mistakes, right? We're people. But we need to learn from our mistakes and move on and get better. Because you know what? People are watching us. No amens. People are watching us all the time. Not only here, but when you go to work, people are watching you. How are you going to react? You know? See, that's the key in so many things. When things happen, we don't have sometimes control of it happening. Because how many know today you can only control you? Can I get an amen? But when something happens, the key or the question is, how do we react? Do we lose it? Do we lose our control? Or do we react in a godly way and try to fix it right away? Not make it worse, right? Takes diligence on our part, right? It takes discipline, right? It takes us, you know what I want to say? We got to be close to the Lord. Amen. If we're not close to God, you know, we're going to make more and more mistakes. Amen. Let me say this to you today. The closer you are to the Lord, the more you read His Word, the more right you will live today. Can I get an amen? Everybody should have said amen there. The more closer you are to God, the more you read His Word and pray, the more you will be like you're supposed to be. But the less time we spend with God, the less time we come to church, the less time we pray or read His Word, it will show. Okay? It will show in our lives. And that's not good. We want to be what God has called us to be. Amen. A blessing, praise God, to one another. Amen. And to the world. The world needs us. How many know that? Amen. Let me move on here. Verse 11, it says, now all these things happen unto them for examples. Here it is again. Again, all these things happen to them so we can learn from them today. Amen. Let's learn from the mistakes of others, even from the children of Israel. He says, and they are written for what? Our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. What we read in the Word of God is to what? Admonish us. Amen. Apostolic admonitions, right? God wants to admonish us today. Amen. These are examples and warnings of what they did in the past, but God wants to admonish us so that we can have right action in our lives. Through how? Through good instruction. Today, this is good instruction. Can I get an amen? We must be instructed continually. Amen. Even I do. So what if I'm the pastor? I still need to be instructed. I still do make mistakes sometimes, right? I try not to. Can I get an amen? And I hope I'm making less than I did years ago. I believe I am. But still, sometimes I mess up. Okay? But we got to learn from them, right? We need to grow from those things and be admonished. Be willing to receive admonition from God today as we're here listening, right? Be willing to receive instruction from the Word of God so that we can all be better for the Lord and for one another. Amen? People are depending on us today more than we even know or think. And, you know, as the ages are going by, you know, ages are going by, we're climaxing to the ends of the earth. You know, time is moving fast, isn't it? A new year is about to hit us, 2018. Are we ready? We better get ready quick. About a month and it'll be here, right? So time doesn't stop or slow down for anybody. How many know that? Keeps moving. The clock keeps ticking. How many know that? Tick, tock, tick, tock. Keeps moving, right? Doesn't stop. Amen. Verse number 12 says this, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." This is a good verse for us today. It says, make sure the person who thinks that, you know what, he's always going to stand, he's never going to make a mistake. This is someone really who walks in what? Self-confidence or pride. Right? He says, that person that's like that, you better take heed lest you fall. Or another way to say it, lest you fall into sin. Okay? Don't be too confident. How many hearing me today? Don't think you've arrived. Right? Don't walk in pride like, oh, I've arrived. I can do all things. I never make a boo-boo. You'll probably make one real quick after that. Right, Leo? We have to what? Not walk in self-confidence, but in humility. No, amen. Thank you, Frank. We must walk in humility, right? Know that, you know what? We're human. We need God's strength. We need God's help not to make mistakes, right? We can't think that we're it. We've arrived, right? Self-confident, we need to have self-confidence, but only to a point, okay? The confidence we have should be because of what we have in the Lord, right? God gives us strength to be confident in what He wants us to do, right? So there's a good self-confidence, but then it can go the wrong way too, okay? It's just like there's a good pride, and then there's a bad pride. How many understand that, right? We have to be careful today. Take heed, okay? Make sure you're taking heed. You're careful, right? Stay humble. Make sure you don't fall into even a little sin. Because how many know today, a little sin can become a big sin. Amen. Amen. Be watchful, okay? Is what he's saying here. We need to be watchful. I got a verse I want to read to go with this. You don't have to turn there. But in 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says this, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Amen? It says you got to watch. Every day we got to be watchmen on the wall. Amen? We got to make sure we're standing in the faith, strong. Not that we're quitting. We never can say, I quit. Christians don't quit. Can I get an amen? Jesus never quits. God is not a quitter. How many know that? So we can't quit. Don't ever say, oh, I quit, I give up. It's over if you say that. You never give up. You never quit. You got to be strong, like the Word tells us today. Amen. And God will replenish you with strength every day so you can be what He's called you to be. Now, I want to encourage you. I don't know if this is encouraging you. I hope it is. But now I really want to give you a couple verses here to help you. In verse 13, this is an encouraging verse for us. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." I've heard recently some of our people say to me, you know what, Pastor Rich, it's been a hard year, or man, I've been through some temptations. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on sometimes. But I want you to realize here today that God says He won't give you something you can't handle. Can I get an amen? He says here, there's no temptation or trial. Maybe you'll understand a little better. Trial that you may go through that is not common for everybody here. Okay? Don't say, oh, God is putting too much on me. That's not true. Okay? If you're going through something, it's God says you're going to make it if you stick it out. Can I get an amen? Right? You can't say, oh, this is too much, Lord. What are you doing? Why am I going through this? I can't handle this. But God says everything we go through is common to all of us today. Okay? Yes, they may be different. We all go through different things, but they're similar. Okay? Look at what he says. Because God is faithful. Can I get an amen? He says God is faithful. Who will do what? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. That's a promise today. You say, oh Lord, I don't know if I can handle this. Yes, you can. God just told you you can. He said, I won't give you more than you can handle. Amen. I won't let you suffer like that. But you got to trust me, right? You got to trust God, right? If you feel weak, you got to ask God to give you strength. He says here, but He will with the temptation or the trial. He says, I will also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Praise God. Maybe we're in some trials right now and some temptation. God says to hold on. Amen. Hold on. You know what? A way of escape is coming your way. But you got to hold on. Can I get an amen? You can't give up and say, I just can't handle it. No. Trust God in what He says here. He says, whatever you're going through, I'm with you. Amen. I'll make sure you get through it. If you're in it, there's a reason why. I can't tell you why. I don't know all the reasons. I go through things that I don't understand too sometimes. How many know that? Right? And sometimes God tells us, sometimes He doesn't. He just says, trust me. Hello. Just follow me. Don't question me. Sometimes, oh, we got to be careful not to do that. We get to a place where we want to question God. Right? Lord, why this or why that? You know, be careful with that. We got to trust Him as bottom line. We got to have faith, right? That what He just told us is true. That we're going to be okay if we get through it, right? If we don't give up, we persevere, amen? This is about someone who will persevere and hold on and trust God. And that trial is going to go away, amen? That temptation will end, praise God. If you stand fast, right? That's encouraging today for me and you. Amen? This is the God that we serve. He's not only faithful, but He'll protect you today. Amen? Not only will He protect you, but He'll also what? Provide for you. Can I get an amen? Not only will He provide for you, but He'll also deliver you. Man, that's my God. That's your God today. Someone needs to smile with me. Amen? Be happy and receive this word today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm getting to the end here. Verse 14, He says, wherefore, or because of all this now that I've told you, He says, you got to make sure, my dearly beloved, are we His dearly beloved today? Yes, we are. He loves us today. Amen? We are His dearly beloved. He says, He again warns us. He's admonishing us to do what? Flee from idolatry. Okay? Who's He talking to? The world? No, the church. Hello? The church. Right? He says, flee, get away from idolatry. Let me break this down a little bit for you here. It means we must flee or shun it again. Or another way to say it is keep clear away from idolatry, any kind of idolatry. And you know what idolatry simply means here? Is anything which you love more than God today. That's as clear and simple that I can make it for you. Anything that you love more than God is an idol today. Can I get an amen? Okay? We have to be so careful. Because things can become idols, right? People can become idols. Positions, fame, fortune, right? So many things can become what? More important than God. And if that happens, you are walking in idolatry today. Amen? The person who buys a new car and all he does all week is clean it. Have you ever been there? In the summertime, you come to church and you see people out there washing their car, and there's nothing wrong. I'm not telling you can't wash your car. But if that's all you think about all week is how clean your car has to be, you know what? That car has become your idol. How many hearing me today? Some people are like that with their house. God wants you to have a clean house. Don't get me wrong. Okay? I go to a client's house and they say to me, don't look at my house. I didn't come here to look at your house, but how am I not going to look at it? If I come, I'm going to see it, right? But there's a lady in where we live, and I'm not saying she walks in idolatry with her house, but seems like every week that I drive by her house, she's out there doing something. She's either cutting the grass or clipping the weeds or doing something. I'm like, man, I hope she spends that time with God too. How many hearing me? Right? So you say, well, I don't have any idols, Pastor Rich. Well, okay, I believe you. But let me say this. Where are you spending your time at, though? Right? You know, some of our people, it's hard. You know, I mean, we're here today, but sometimes Wednesdays, it's like, you know, we have such a small group. Why? Is Wednesday any different than Sunday? I mean, I understand we work. I work too on Wednesdays, but I think we make excuses sometimes. I have to be honest, right? Oh, I'm tired on Wednesday. You don't think I'm tired? Wednesday's the hardest day for me because I work from the morning till evening, get home and come right here, drive an hour, and then don't get home till 10:30. So if anybody want to give an excuse, I could give you some. Do you want to hear them? I don't think so, right? God doesn't want to hear them either. So again, anything that's what we love more than God, and it can be anything today, and it means where we spend a lot of time, if it's above the time we should spend with God, we could be in idolatry and don't even know it today. Wow. That's a pretty harrowing thought today to bring some understanding to our minds. Amen? It has to be God first. I'll say it again. It has to be God first. Okay? It's God first, then family. Let me say that again. God first, then family. Right? We're family here. Maybe not blood, but we are through the blood of Jesus. We're blood family. Think about it that way. Amen? It's God, family, then work. We sometimes mix that up. If your work is causing you to miss, you better examine that situation. Okay? Because, you know, work can drive you crazy sometimes. You know, when you have your own business or you do what you want to do, it's a blessing, but you must walk in discipline. If it's not work, it's other things, whatever. Again, whatever we put priority to is where we spend our time. Can I get an amen? And you can rectify it or you can make it seem right in your mind, but it may not be today. So I'm just asking God to minister to you and know where you are today. I have to know where I'm at too. Amen. We've got to be careful with what we're doing. Verse 15. We can get ready for communion, ladies. You're going to be coming up in a moment. Verse 15 of this chapter is my last verse, and we're going to get ready for communion. It says, I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. So God is saying to us today, you know what? I'm speaking to people that are wise. Any wise people here? Yes, right? Amen. Thank you. He says, I'm talking to wise, intelligent, sensible people who are supposed to be the people of God, right? He says, I'm speaking that to you, that I believe that's who I'm talking to today. And he says, you know what? I want to judge what I'm saying. Okay? I want you to think over what I'm saying because it's important today. Amen. What is going on in our lives today? Let's learn from those from the past. Amen. Let's not make the mistakes they did. Okay? Or even get to the point today, let's not make mistakes we've made before. Let's not make them again. Can I get an amen? Let's get wiser, right? Let's get stronger. Let's get smarter. Amen. We can if we want to. God wants us to today. He says, think about what I just told you. Amen. We need to think about it today as we prepare for communion. I'm going to have the ladies come right now. Praise God. We're going to distribute communion to each one. If there's anybody downstairs who needs to come up, we can go get them. After we do a song today, I'm going to come back up and read you two more verses from this text that have to do with communion, and it'll lead us into our communion time. So I'm going to have the ushers to come, and as they prepare and as they get ready, then we can all stand to sing, and we'll receive the communion sacraments as they pass them out. Just hold them until we all partake together today. Praise God. Amen. Boy, some big pieces today. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So after you receive your bread and your cup, you can stand. I don't want you to spill it. Maybe place it on the your spot on the, in the pew there, so you don't spill it. Amen. Prepare our hearts through the song. It really just blesses me because the Lord told us this morning this was a season of love. I didn't know they were singing that song. I didn't even know what songs they were singing today. But see, God speaks to us and God confirms things to us. And that blesses me to receive and hear that song we just sang about His love today. It's so great. Amen. We have so much to be thankful for with His love. In 1 Corinthians 10, I'm just reading two verses and we're going to pray. Verse 16, it says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" See, today the cup represents the blood of Jesus. Amen. And we have communion with Him. And the bread that we're going to partake represents the body of Christ. And as we participate, we commune with Him today. Amen. This is an act of communion today as we partake of these sacraments. He says here, "For we being many are one bread and one body, for we all are partakers of that one bread today." So that's what we're going to do today. Amen. As you partake today of the bread and of the cup, we participate and we're all part of the same body here today. We're many, but we're one today. Christ makes us one today. Amen. With what He went through, the bread represents His body, what He did for me and you on Calvary, the cross. Amen. And without the blood, the cup of juice represents the blood, right? Without the blood of Jesus, we wouldn't have forgiveness today. So we got it all today, right here in our midst. Amen. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the bread first. Amen. And I'm going to ask the ladies to help me today. I'm going to ask Dawn if she would pray for the bread as we prepare our hearts to receive the bread today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen. Let's partake of the bread. As you chew the bread, know your healing is coming forth today, whatever it is. Bread nourishes us. Bread gives us strength. Bread heals us today. Jesus is our bread. Jesus is our healer today. Whatever area you need healing, spirit, soul and body, receive it by faith today. Ask God to give you the healing you need. And know today it's by the blood. Praise God. If you need to ask God to forgive you, please ask for forgiveness before we partake of the cup, which represents the blood. God wants us to be forgiven. Amen. God wants us to be right with Him and with one another. Praise God. So let go and forgive today as you are being forgiven. We're going to ask Rose if she would pray for the cup today. Amen.
Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the blood that you have shed represented in this cup, Lord. The blood that you have shed, Father, cannot be compared to anything.
Thank you, Lord.
The blood that was shed on the cross. Lord, we
thank you, God,
that your blood cleanses us, Lord. For we take on the blood, Father, and cleanses us of all of our sins.
Thank you, Lord.
The blood that cannot be substituted by any sacrifice, whether animal, whether fruit, whatever it is, Lord.
Thank you.
Your blood cannot be substituted. For only your blood cleanses. All the other blood just covers.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your cleansing blood, Lord.
Yes.
And Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness.
Thank you, Father.
And I pray, Lord, for the same for the congregation. Lord, forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness.
Thank you, God.
Create in us a clean heart, Lord, and renew a right spirit within us.
Yes.
Cast us not away from thy presence, but renew your spirit within us, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For you promised in Ezekiel, a new heart will I give you.
Hallelujah.
A new spirit will I give you.
Thank
so
you,
that
God.
Your spirit will dwell in us. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that your spirit may dwell in us.
Yes.
By the shedding of your blood that cleanses us of all of our sins.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's partake of the cup. Just thank the Lord for a moment. Whatever you needed, just thank Him in faith that you're receiving it now. That you're free. Amen. You're forgiven. You don't have to walk in bondage. Amen. God gives us freedom to live a holy, pure life today. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this service, Lord. We thank you for your word that breathes life into us, Lord. God, I know you have breathed strength and power into us today, Lord, to live, Lord, according to your word. That, Lord, we would learn from those before us, God, that we would not make the same mistakes they did, Lord. But help us, Lord, to walk in holiness like you, Lord. To walk in purity today, Father. To walk in your love every day, Lord. That we would realize the love you have for us and the love that we have for one another, God. Bless this day, Lord. Let it be fruitful. Bless this whole month, Lord, as we celebrate Christmas, God. What Christmas is all about. The Christ in Christmas, Lord. Salvation, the greatest gift mankind has ever had. Thank you for that today, Lord. Bless today, Lord. Bless each one, every family represented here. Bless us to continue to walk in love and peace with one another for the glory of God. We honor you today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. Amen. Greet